الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable mothers and sisters in Islam, Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahimahullah very beautifully mentions that he says, my intention was to change the world. He says, my intention was to change the world. I tried but I failed. I tried but I failed. I changed myself and I found a better world to live in. Mothers and sisters in Islam, the most important topic of discussion is me, myself. That if I can change to become a better person, I will appreciate every person's potentials, positives around me in society. The life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we are interacting with the people on a daily basis. Many a times the problems that we face, the challenges we have on a daily basis is due to our inability to interact with people cordially, respectfully, in a dignified manner and way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a surah. That surah is known as Suratul Hujurat, which appears in the 26th juz of the Quran Kareem, in the second half of the 26th juz. This entire surah, Suratul Hujurat, Hujurat is the plural of Hujara. Hujara is translated as a room, as a room. So Suratul Hujurat, the surah of the rooms, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing hujra, interior, internal. In Urdu, people will say andaruni, garelu mamla. So similar will we say with regards to the aspects that will be discussed in Suratul Hujurat are the aspects of a domestic life of a person. The domestic life of a person. So in this Suratul Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses aspects in our life that if we have to adhere to these aspects, then we will be able to appreciate, understand how to derive and live cordially with people around us in society. Remember, each person has got different relationships in life. One single person may be a son to a man, but a father to his son. Every person, you are related in different ways. Maybe you are the son of one person, but you are the father of another, a brother to another. You are someone's mother, but someone else's sister. You are someone else's daughter, but you are someone else's aunt. So each one of us have multiple relations in life. We are related to various people in life in different ways. So in this Suratul Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us guidelines, golden rules, principles by means if we live our life, we will be able to enjoy a harmonious, prosperous, peaceful, and a pious, wholesome society and environment. Suratul Hujurat, the entire tafsir of which cannot be discussed. We cannot discuss every aspect of Suratul Hujurat, but we will discuss and highlight some of the important, salient, features of Surah Al-Hujurat that we need to apply within ourselves, and inshallah we will see a better environment to live in. As Allama Jalaluddin Rahmatullah Ali says, that I wanted to change the world and I failed. I changed myself and I found a better world to live in. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he mention? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tuqaddimu bayna yadayillahi wa rasulihi, wattaqullah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O believers, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله. Do not advance ahead of Allah and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. Don't do anything before the command of Allah. Do not advance before the instruction of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Following this command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after this command, we see that Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would not walk ahead of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would not speak before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would not eat until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself commenced eating. So they wouldn't do anything until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself commenced and started whatever they intended to do. And this is that level of respect that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah and to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We find one day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is a sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was walking ahead of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, walking in front of him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Abu Darda radiallahu anhu walking in front of Nabi Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You are walking in front of a person khayrum mimman tala'at alayhi shamsu wa gharubat." Then how do you walk in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a man better than you in this world and in the next? He is the best upon whom the sun has risen and set. After the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, this is our belief as Muslims. Our belief as Muslims is that after the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, the most pious and best person in the surface of the earth is who? After Anbiya alayhi musallatu, all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, after them, who's the best? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's the best. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was walking ahead of Abu Darda was walking in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi Sam told him, "No, how can you walk in front of him? He is better than you." So the lesson for us, what do we learn from this? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not restrict this respect to himself. That the respect is to me, that no one should walk in front of me. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extended it. And he said that this adab, this respect, that no person should walk in front of any senior to him in society. Someone is more pious than you, someone is more senior than you, someone is elder than you, then don't do anything before the permission or ahead of them. And alhamdulillah, this is to a degree we see some people practicing on this. Some people, when they sit on the table, they will not dish out their food to eat until the father of the house, the senior of the house, doesn't dish out his food. When he dishes out his food, then will I start eating. Now, this is respect for the senior. If some visitors have to come into the house, then we wait for everyone to take their seat. If there is an extra seat, then I will sit down. Let it not be that people come into our house, we take our golden chair and sit there first, and then everyone else finds place and then they will sit down. Incorrect. other than respect demands that if there is seniors, we allow them to take their position first. They will dish out the food first and they will do everything first. Allah forgive, Allah protect. Unfortunately, we are living a life. Unfortunately, we are living a life. That we would see that when a new house is being built, then the son is staying in the main house and he puts his parents in the out building or the back house, in the granny cottage, because they're grannies and grandmothers and grandfathers now. But this wouldn't have happened. The son wouldn't put his mother in an old age home. The son will never put his mother in a granny cottage. If that mother had instilled love, respect, concern for the deen, the ta'aleem, the teachings of Quran and Sunnah was engraved in the child, then the child will never allow, will never be able to tolerate the mother being in the back house. Due to love, will never allow. Recently we met one alim in Johannesburg. So he mentioned to us that he's seen someone else, another alim, making khidmat and serving his mother. He would do anything for his mother. Whatever his mother wanted, he would do. Mother wanted to go to the shop to buy something, he would take his mother. Mother wanted to visit someone, he would take his mother. And he would do anything for his mother. He would do anything. But only one thing this senior alim asked him. You see, I see you do anything for your mother, but you do not eat with your mother in the same plate. Can you explain to me why? If you love your mother, then why don't you share the food with her and eat in the same plate out of love? If you love her, eat in the same plate. So this young alim who was making the khidmat of his mother replied and said, I will never eat with my mother in the same plate because I fear if we dish out some food into the plate and my mother had her gaze on a certain portion of the food and she wanted to eat that, if I perchance take it and eat it before her, I have disrespected her. To that level, some people have been cautious, worried, careful with regards to disrespect of their mothers and parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the ability. This is something we teach our children. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one day he saw two people walk in. So these two people, when he saw them, he realized one is the father, one is the son. There is some relationship, but he is not too sure. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked the younger person from the two of them, "Ma hadha minka? What's the relationship of this person to you? What's your relationship?" So the younger person said, "Abi, that this person next to me is my father. I'm walking with my father." So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, giving advice to this youngster, he says that you walk in with your father. Let me tell you, oh my young boy, oh my son, لا تسميهي باسمي ولا تمشي أمامه ولا تجلس قبله. Please, my little son, don't ever take your father and mention him by name. Don't ever mention him by name. Don't ever mention him by name. If you need to call him, don't call him by his name. Muhammad, come here. No. You will call him daddy, papa, abi, abati. Some word that shows respect. But unfortunately nowadays the youngsters, when they talk in with each other, then that level of respect is not there. Why don't they have that respect for their parents in the absence of their parents? Because the respect was not given and engraved into the hearts of the youngsters. That is why sometimes you'll hear a youngster when he's talking about his father, someone has to ask him, who's that over there by your car? He said, no, that's my bali. That's my bali. Isn't what you'll say? Huh? Abi. So if a person loves their father, then they will say, Abi, that's my papa, that's my beloved father, that's my respected father. But people nowadays, they talk different lingos. If you go to Johannesburg, then they say, that's my topi. In Durban, then they say, that's my bali. Or that's the old man, sometimes people say. Who's that? No, that's the old man. What do you mean, old man? That's your father. That's the old man. Not old man, that's my respected father. So be careful how we address our parents. وَلَا تَمْشِي أَمَامَهُ. Don't walk ahead of your father. وَلَا تَجْلِسْ قَبْلَهُ. And do not sit before your father. Do not sit before him. Allahu Akbar. You get some people in society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with this world. They've got the riches of the world. Allah has blessed them with immense wealth. But there is one person we met, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with money and he was ready to build a house, then the first thing he told his parents, that Papa, Mommy, you all must tell me which house you all want, and I will buy your house first. My house I'll buy after that, but I want to buy your house first. Time to purchase a car? Daddy, Papa, I think so you'll need to upgrade. It's time that you'll upgrade and you'll get a better car. Not worried about himself, worried about the comforts of his parents. That my parents must be comfortable. Now this will only come into the children if we give it to them. Beautifully said in English, that the children do not care. They do not care how much you know. They do not care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. That they don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care. You all understand English? Huh? It's going to come out in exams, huh? Learn it. So, the first lesson in Surah Al-Hujurat, the first lesson is of adab and respect to our seniors. That we will not do anything ahead of them, in front of them, without their permission. This is the respect that the Quran Kareem is teaching us, that this is how we will live and we will learn and we will deal and interact with our parents. The next command in Surah Al-Hujurat,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ.
That, O believers, do not raise your voice ahead of that and above and louder than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you speak into any person in society, don't scream and speak. This is what we will say to the wives. When you speak to your husband, don't scream to him. Scream and speak at him. And the husband also shouldn't scream and speak to the wife. And the son shouldn't back chat his father and mother. He should speak in a very calculated, low tone. If the mother has to tell the son that, go and do this or do that. No, mommy. There shouldn't be that raising of the voice in rejection or negation that you don't want to do something. But when will this come? When we teach them that respect and etiquette, it will come in them. Now one day, when this verse was revealed, Thabit bin Qais radiallahu is sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stopped coming to the masjid. So after a few days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that Thabit radiallahu anhu is not coming to the masjid. So he sent a few sahaba to his house. He says, go to Thabit's house. Go and see why he is not coming to the masjid. So they knock on his door. He says, Thabit, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to know why you're not coming to the masjid anymore. So Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu replies and he says that I am from Jahannam, I am from Jahannam, I am in Jahannam. So Sahabi asks, what's happening? What you mean you in Jahannam? He says, Allah revealed an ayat for me, Allah revealed an ayat for me. So he asks him, what ayat was revealed? He says, Allah revealed the ayat.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti nabiyyi wa la tajharu lahu bil qawl.
Do not raise your voice above that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, me naturally I got a loud voice. Naturally, I speak very loud. So I fear that my loud speaking in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has revealed this verse for me, that you listen, you're talking too loud in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lesson for each one of us, that this ayat was revealed, Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu applied it upon himself. What did he say? I fear that this ayah was revealed regarding me. I fear it was revealed regarding me. Unfortunately, nowadays when we come for bayans, when we go for programs, or when we listen to any lecture and we read any literature, then when we see any point, yeah man, I wish my neighbor was here.
Yeah, see, Sister Safiya didn't come. This point is for her. Maulana is talking about her bad quality. Yeah, why Khadija didn't come? See, Maulana is talking. She doesn't wear parda. See, Maulana was talking to her. This bayan was for my neighbor. This bayan was for my daughter-in-law. This bayan was for so and so. This bayan is not for anyone. Whatever we hear, whatever we read, the first addressee, the first person that needs to be addressed, applied, we apply it upon ourselves. That Allah is speaking to me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given guidelines, has given advice. This advice is for me, not for anyone else. So this sahabi understood that this ayat was revealed for him. He feared it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the sahaba back. You see, go to him, tell Thabit that he is from the people of Jannah, he is not from Jahannam. Tell him that ayat was not revealed for him, it was for other people, it's not for him. So they come to Thabit radiallahu anhu and they tell him that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this ayat was not revealed for you because you naturally got a loud voice. It's for people who intentionally raise their voices in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not for you. It's first not for you. So Thabit radiallahu anhu, he thought it was for him. So the lesson of here for each one of us is that we do not raise our voices in the presence of seniors. When we've got senior people around us, we do not raise our voice ahead and above their voices out of disrespect. Now what is the, if a person has disrespect, what is the fear of showing disrespect to any senior people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says, وَلَا تَجَهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Do not raise your voices above that of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Lest your a'mal will be lost and cancelled. The reward of your good deeds will be lost. When the reward of your good deeds will be lost, when you speak louder than that of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you speak louder than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you, whatever good deeds you did, the reward of it will be lost. Wa antum la tashurun, while you are unaware, you don't even know that you have lost the reward of your good deeds. So the lesson in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us, that the moment we don't have adab, then the reward of our good deeds will be lost. When we don't have adab and respect and etiquette, then the reward of it will be lost. And we don't even know how that reward has been lost. Just because of disrespect to any person in society who required that we show them that and we accord that respect to them. Ba adab, ba nasib. Be adab, be nasib. That person who's got adab is got a great fortune. That person who does not have adab has lost a great fortune. Now this is an important aspect that we work on ourselves. The adab and the etiquette of dealing with people. If we know how to talk with people, there'll be less problems in life. If we knew how to address situations and challenges and problems, there'll be less problems in the world. But the greatest problem nowadays is not the problem. The biggest problem is that we don't know how to solve the problem. We don't know how to deal with the problem, how to sort out the problem. That's the biggest problem. Simple example, how sometimes we don't even realize, we don't even know, but we don't even have etiquette in the way we speak to someone. Maybe there was a function, and maybe there's a wedding. That wedding, generally we look at each other's cloaks. Oh, mashallah, where you bought yours? No, this one, when I went for Umrah, then I brought this one here, my Sharqiya. Oh, that one, Bidun Ism, when I went for Hajj. This one I bought, sweetie, from Durban. This Hanayan, this one I got it from Dubai. And everyone is looking at each other's cloaks. And the worst statement that can come out from a girl or from a lady, when she passes a remark to someone else, shame. The same cloak you walk on, you wore it on Eid day, you're wearing it again for the nikah? No man. Why you did that? Now immediately what did you do? You broke the spirit of that person who was happy on that occasion. Who said for every occasion you need to have a new cloak? Just one slip of the tongue. You didn't know how to articulate or say something. When you don't know what to say, don't say anything. When you don't know what to say, don't say anything, rather keep quiet. If you want to speak, make sure you speak that which is beneficial. You have to know what to say, otherwise don't say it. Sometimes a couple are married, sometimes 5 years, 6 years. Now we speak to the person, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? MashaAllah, are you okay? Oh, you married? MashaAllah, how long you married? Gee, married for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, MashaAllah, how many children? No children. Huh? You got no children? Huh? Serious? Now, is that the fault of the girl that she doesn't have any children? Is that her option? If you ask her herself, she wants children. Why there's no children? Because the child is a gift from Allah. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ يَهَبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I gift children, male offspring to whomsoever I desire, and female offspring to whomsoever I desire. يَهَبُ is a gift. When someone gives you a gift, can you ask him to give you a gift? Zakaria, I can ask you, you must give me a gift. Huh? I can't. A gift is something you can't tell the person that give me a gift. A gift is something that, how does it come? If a person likes you, he'll give you a gift, does it? If you like me, then you'll give me a gift. You don't like me, so you never brought a gift for me today. Correct? Yeah, so if you want, a gift is something that you have no choice in it. There's no choice. But look at the manner in which you address that girl who doesn't have a child. Shame. What do you mean shame? There's no shame. Don't even say that. That also hurts. Don't even ask like, you're married for 5 years and still no children. What do you mean still no children? We don't have a factory that we can put an application and, you know, 9 months later when child will be delivered from Allah. That's not the case. So if we don't know how to speak, we need to rather keep quiet. Because sometimes when you don't say the right thing with your tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. You lose the reward of all your tahajjud. You woke up for tahajjud salah. You were crying in tahajjud salah. But in the morning you said something that was evil with your tongue. You lost all the reward of the tahajjud. You were reading 1,000 durood sharif because it's Friday. Thousands you were reading. But because you said one utterance with your tongue that was incorrect, unbecoming, not fit for a Muslim to speak with, you lost the reward of all of the durood sharif. All of that has been lost. You gave thousands of rands, you sold your jewelry, you gave all of that money for the upliftment, for the maintenance of the masjid. But you said one sentence wrong, you lost all the reward of all your good deeds. Everything is lost. Why? You're not controlling your tongue. You're not controlling it. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, amlik alayka lisanak, amlik. Very loosely we translate this hadith as guard your tongue, correct? You'll did the hadith? Amlik alayka lisanak. What does it mean? Guard your tongue. That's a very loose translation. Amlik, linguistically, comes from the word milk. What does milk mean in Arabic? Malik. What's Malik? Owner. What? Malik means owner. So Amlik means be the owner of your tongue. You know when someone is the owner, he's in control of it. Be the master and the owner of your tongue. Beautifully said. Be the master of your tongue, lest you will become the slave of your words. What? Be the master of your tongue, lest or otherwise you will become the slave of your words. Therefore, be careful what you say. If you don't say the wrong thing, if you don't say the right thing and you say the wrong thing, then tomorrow you have to ask for forgiveness. You have to bite humble pie. maaf, sorry, I never intended like that, but you know, it's misunderstood, it wasn't meant in that stride, I'm sorry, but I made a mistake, please forgive me. So if you don't know what to say, you rather keep quiet. If you need to speak, make sure what you are going to speak is beneficial. Otherwise, don't say anything. Ulama explain and say that antahbata amalukum. Another very valuable point on antahbata amalukum. Sometimes a person is waking up for tahajjud salah. After some time, you realize, hey, what's happening? I can't wake up for tahajjud anymore. I'm very tired. Maybe you are reading a lot of durood. Now Fridays are coming and you're not finding the time to read Durood Sharif. Or maybe you used to recite a lot of Quran. But now a time comes and you can't read a lot of Quran. You don't have that halawa. There's no taste in you to read a lot of Quran. You don't have desire. You don't like it anymore. You're not liking what you're doing anymore. So your dhikr is getting less. Or whatever good deed you were doing, that is decreasing. Ulama explain and say, If you introspect and look into your life, there's a possibility you have done someone down. Maybe you have disrespected someone in society, for which the repercussions of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the tawfiq from you to do a good deed you were habitual of doing. You used to do it, but the tawfiq is being taken away from Allah. Why? Because of not having adab, respect, etiquette with some person in society. Maybe you are backbiting. Maybe because of ghibah. Maybe at times because of disrespecting your ustad, your apa, or your parents, or some person. Now some tawfiq has been taken away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now how do we gain this adab? This respect, how does it come into us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next verses,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ.
That those people that lower their voices in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were commanded not to raise our voice. And if you do lower your voice and you speak in a very dignified, respectful manner in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people that Allah has tested their hearts for taqwa and piety. So the lesson for us is that adab, respect, is the fruit of taqwa. That if we have taqwa in our hearts, if we have taqwa in our hearts, we've got taqwa, Allah consciousness. The moment you have Allah consciousness, what does the meaning, what is Allah consciousness? You know my Allah is watching me. My Allah is recording what I'm saying. My Allah is listening to what I said. He's looking and he's watching me. If you are 100% aware of this fact that Allah is looking at you, you won't do anything wrong. If you all know that Maulana is looking at you all, will you all play fools here? Huh? You'll take a chance. If Maulana is looking, no. If Apa is looking, we don't take a chance. Why? You're scared of the Maulana, of the Apa, or whoever it is. So similar, if a person knew that my Allah is watching me, was there any possibility of doing anything wrong? Any possibility? No possibility. Because my Allah is watching me. So how do we gain this adab and etiquette? Is with taqwa. With taqwa, this is how we will gain that adab and that respect. So therefore we need to know how to address situations. Sometimes the wife may be at fault, the husband needs to know how to speak to her. Sometimes the wife is wrong, so the wife is wrong, husband needs to know how to address the situation. So we need to have a lot of adab and respect and etiquette. I mean, sometimes we don't even know what's adab and respect. We don't even know what we are doing is wrong. If you are going and visiting someone's house early in the morning, Fajr time, or late in the night, you're going to visit someone, it's unbecoming It's not appropriate for a Muslim to hoot on the street for one house and the entire neighborhood can hear your hoot. It's incorrect. So we will, if you are worried, there's a security danger, you worried, you concerned, no problem. Then you phone the person at least 1 or 2 minutes in advance so they can wait at the gate to open for you. So you don't cause any taklif and hurt to the whole neighborhood just because of you going to visit just one house. So we don't hoot very loudly. That's not becoming of a Muslim. So we need to be careful how we behave also on the road. I mean, how we drive. There shouldn't be road rage for a Muslim. This is incorrect. A Muslim gets angry on the road and he wants to show people a point and he doesn't allow some people to overtake him and he wants to go ahead of them, or whatever the case be. So we need to have respect and adab in every aspect and sphere and walk of life. Always the way we speak, the way we interact, the way we deal with people, everything has to be with total respect and adab and etiquette. So the first command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not to do anything ahead of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second lesson that we learned, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي, that do not raise your voice ahead and above that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't raise our voices too high. Don't speak in a very loud voice in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any pious person that we have around us. And the next lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. O believers, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ. Any information that comes to you, do not act on the information without first investigating. If someone has to tell you something, don't act on it without verifying. One person whispered into your ears, do you know that sister so and so said this about you? Immediately you get flustered up. You are very upset about it. Yeah, how can they talk to about me like that? How can they say that? Huh? I did this for them and I did that for them and they don't know who I am and they not, how, there's disrespect and there's ghiba, whatever. But have we verified? Is it true? Is it someone speaking a lie? Is it a reality? What is the situation? So, authenticate the information first. Especially in this age of technology we are living in, we need to be very, very cautious. Most and majority of the messages that we look into our WhatsApp, what will we see? Forwarded. Most of them are forwarded, meaning someone, you found it on one group, then you forward it to your other groups. All forwarded. Have you read it? Is it correct? Is it authentic? Have you checked with the ulama? Is this hadith correct? Everything. Is this according to the aqidah of us as Muslims, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah or not? Then only will a person act. After verifying that is a hadith, it is an ayah of the Quran, correctly quoted, the points are fine, it's not against the ulama, the mainstream followers of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now this is how we will verify information. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us the importance of verifying information. Whatever information, verify it first. The next message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. That the believers are brothers to each other. The believers are brothers to each other. فأصلحوا بين أخويكم. That's why rectify the relationship between the brothers. Try and unify, keep together, unite the ummah. This is the lesson. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum and he said, أَلَا أَضُلُّكُمْ بِأَفْضَلَ مِنَ الصِّيَامِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ. Should I not inform you of an action which is better than all your optional fast, better than your optional salah and your optional charities? One is the fard salah, you have to read it. The fard fast, you have to keep it, that which is necessary. But then you get certain actions that we do, they are nafal. You know what's nafal? Nafal is optional, extra. And if you do it, you will get extra reward. So these nafal, if we do it, we get extra reward. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, can I show you an action better than all your optional? You want to stand for tahajjud salah, 8 rakats in the night for 2 hours? Come, I show you something better than that. You want to give charity of how much? 5 million rand? You want to build a masjid? Come, I show you something better than that. You want to fast every Monday and Thursdays and get all that reward? I'll show you something better than that. What can be better than that? Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, Ya Rasul, what can be better than that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islahu dhatil bayn. Islahu dhatil bayn. To cause love, unity between Muslims is better than all your optional deeds. So all of this that we are doing, alhamdulillah, all in its place. And the worst thing Nabi Sam said, وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَةِ. When you cause problems between two Muslim sisters, two neighbors, two families, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, الْحَالِقَةِ. That has erased all your reward from the time you started till today. From the time you started doing good deeds till today, all that reward is lost. You lost it. Why? Because you created fasad. You created problems between two people. So the next time we intend to make some panchat, the next time we want to talk and speak something and say something, keep these factors in mind. What about my ajr and my reward? What about my jannah? What about it? What will happen? So this is an important aspect, that yes, all our nawafil, our salah, our zakah, our charities and sadaqat, all in its place. But more rewarding than all of that is creating unity between Muslim brothers and Muslim sisters is very, very an important aspect of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first part Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about is adab. Adab, respect. Where will we get this adab? With the taqwa. When we are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll have adab and respect. Amazing, Allahu Akbar. You get some very blessed souls in the world. Alhamdulillah. There are some people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One father, he used to play with his children outside in the yard every day after Asar Salah. He used to play with them every day. He used to give quality time to his children. Play cricket, play soccer, whatever games they wanted to play, he would play with them. One day they called him out. They say, Papa, Abi, let's go and play. He says, no, today we can't go and play. Today we can't go and play. So they thought, okay, today they can't go and play. Why they can't go and play? Maybe Papa is not feeling well. My father is sick. So we won't go play today. So they never go and play. Then the next day after Asr, they came from school, madrasa, they wanted to play. Papa, Papa, let's go play. I said, no, you all go play today. I'm not coming. So now they got worried. First day he never played with us. Now second day also he never played with us. Third day, they say, Papa, Papa, please, please, come and play with us today after Asr outside. Daddy, let's go play.
He says, no, we're not going to play. So they say, no, Papa, why are you not coming? Why are you not coming? They're insisting. So he had to sit his children down. He says, come sit down, come sit down. And he sat and he spoke to all of them. He spoke to all of them. And he told them that what happened next door. They said, janaza. You see, who passed away? You see, the neighbor, the old uncle, the man, the neighbor, he passed away. You see, who was he? So the father is telling them, do you know that man who passed away next door is a father to those children? Like how y'all are my children? Like how y'all are my children? The children, those children, neighbors, our neighbors' children, their father passed away. I am your father, but they lost their father. So therefore, for a few days now, I won't play with y'all outside. I'll only play with y'all inside. Why? If I come and play with y'all outside, those children will see you enjoying a moment of entertainment and happiness with your father. And they will be reminded about their own father and they will start crying. So I don't want to hurt the feelings of who? Those young children next door, they will be reminded about their own father. So we'll play inside the house, but if you know play outside, invite them also, then we can play. Call them also into our yard, then we can play with everyone. Allahu Akbar. What a delicate heart it takes for a person to give this advice to his children. Allahu Akbar. Amazing. So, when will we be calculated in our speech? When will we be guarded, watchful of what we do, what we say, how we interact? When we become close friends to Allah. When a person is very close to someone, he wouldn't want that person to become angry with him, isn't it? Correct? If someone is very close, will you want your friend to become angry with you? Who's your best friend? Zakaria. Zakaria is everyone's friend, huh? So, and him also. What's your name? So example, if you are a very close friend of Zakaria, will you do something for Zakaria to get angry with you? Why? If he gets angry, he's no more your friend. Correct? So therefore we need to be careful. The moment we become very, very close to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be, when we close to Allah, now we worried that we don't want to do anything that will make Allah angry with us, isn't it? We don't want to do anything that will make Allah angry with us. So we have to be careful how we speak, we act, and we deal with people in society. We cannot do the entire surah, but just a few more points we'll discuss of Surah Al-Hujurat. In the second half of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some pertinent points. It'll be very, very valuable if we can take Ma'riful Qur'an, Tafsir Uthmani, if we have these translations of Qur'an in our house. Very easy. These chapters, nothing difficult. Surah Al-Hujurat, read the translation. Read it to our children. Read it to our siblings. Read it amongst ourselves as a family unit together. Do ta'lim of the kitab as a united family. As a united family, let's do something. Sit together and do this here. Just read it. And what amazing, profound messages we find in the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the second half of Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. O believers, don't mock at each other. What? Don't mock at each other. Don't laugh at each other. You find a fault of someone, don't laugh at that fault of that person. Do not do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't know who's better in my eyes. So you can laugh at the person in this world, but in the akhirat, you don't know who's closer to me and who's better to me. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And do not find faults with each other. Allahu Akbar. Do not find faults. Amazing
Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man satara musliman satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah." That person who hides the fault of his Muslim brother, Allah will hide his faults on the day of Qiyamah. Can any one of us claim we got no faults at all? Can any one of us claim we are faultless, we got nothing at all, no blemish at all? No. But here Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, if you cover the faults of your Muslim brother and sister, I take the responsibility upon myself to cover your faults, that your father will not see your faults, your mother will not know about your faults that you committed in the world, because you covered someone else's faults. And a scary, the flip side of it, the flip side of that, a very scary thing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man ayyara akhahu bidhanbin lam yamut hatta ya'mala." That person who takes out a fault of a Muslim brother, that person who exposes the fault of his Muslim brother or sister, lam yamut, such a person will not die until they themselves do not become culprit to that same sin. So today you're gonna laugh at your neighbor and your sister and your friend that they were involved in this illicit relationship, or they were involved in this haram. Allah forgive, a time will come that you yourself will get involved in it because you're laughing at them. When you see any fault of a person, try and hide it and make dua for them. When you see a fault, don't expose the fault, hide the fault. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min." Every believer is a mirror to another. You know a mirror? When you stand in front of the mirror, if you got one big, you know, you got a big pimple on your nose. Big pimple, big one on your nose. A big pimple on your nose, and you stand in front of the mirror. When you walk away, and your friend comes in front of that mirror, does he see that pimple? Does he see the same picture? No. Why? Because the mirror does not save images to expose it to the next person who's coming to look into the mirror. This is how we need to be as believers. You see the fault of a person, don't save it. You're a mirror to another. Don't save it when someone else, you meet them, you mention about that fault. Hey, you heard, huh? You heard Khadija. Hey, shame, man. Yeah, hey, shame. Make Lord dua. Her son ran away, man. He's involved in drugs. Make dua for him, man. Hey, bad, very bad, very bad. He's got bad car. Hey, yeah, her daughter also, man. Na'udhubillah, be careful. One is making dua for the person sincerely from the deep recesses of your heart, no problem. You're worried and concerned, you speak because you want to better the situation. But if you speak about it to expose it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that same difficulty into our house. Allah protect us. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't keep nicknames for each other. Don't keep nicknames. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't keep nicknames for each other, unless the person is happy with it. If you're happy with the nickname, no problem. Got a nickname? What's your nickname? So if you go... So do not keep nicknames for each other. The Quran Kareem says, unless the person is comfortable with it, no problem. Person is not comfortable with the nickname, then don't call that person by that nickname. And one more important point. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu jtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithm. O believers, avoid all suspicion. Avoid all type of suspicion. Inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithm. For verily, some type of suspicion is a sin. And that's exactly how, unfortunately, sometimes stories come in society. Because one person said, I think so she's involved with that man. I think so they doing this. And I think so, and most probably, eventually it becomes the charcha, the panchayat of the town, and everyone's talking about it. Yet there's no concrete evidence for it. Inna ba'da dhanni ithm. Very, very pertinent point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever question you regarding the good thoughts you had for someone. If you had a good thought about someone, Allah won't question you. That person is a drunkard. Why you had a good thought? Will Allah ask you? Why you got a good thought of a person? No. But if you have a bad thought about someone, a bad and an evil thought, Allah will question you about it. So good thoughts, there's no repercussions. There's no consequences. Allah won't question you for a bad thought. If you saw a drunk man on the road and he's walking from pillar to post and he's seen triple, and you think good about him, maybe someone hit him badly, that's why he's walking like this. Allah won't question you. But if you start thinking bad, one is you don't know reality, one is you can see the reality, it's a different situation. But to have a bad thought of a person, Allah protect us. And the last message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is ghibah, backbiting. Unfortunately, sometimes we do backbiting. And what we tell each other? But qasam, it's a reality. Seriously, it's true. What I'm telling you is true. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا هُوَ يَكْرَهُ is ghibah. When you speak about your brother, that which is the reality, but in his absence is ghibah. When you speak about your brother, that which is true, in his absence, that is ghibah. It's called ghibah when you speak in his absence, and he doesn't even know about it, even if the story is a true story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each one of us for coming for the program. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the ability that we imbue within ourselves these messages of the Quran Kareem from Surah Al-Hujurat. There is a fanfold that inshallah is distributed already or will be distributed. Let us take those home and remind ourselves, the family as a unit, about these important, pertinent messages. If we keep these messages in life, then there's no reason for each one of us to go through any problems in society at any level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for coming for the program. Wa akhir dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.